Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The text for the ascension of our Lord comes from our gospel reading of Luke. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. In the name of Jesus. Jesus begins by opening the disciples' minds once again to the scriptures. I know he had already done this before around Easter time, so it's a little interesting that he does so again, but perhaps it isn't. Maybe this is exactly how it should be. Fallen men hearing God's word on a consistent basis. Fallen men reminded time and time again that it's all about Jesus, from beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation, Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets too. It's all about Jesus. Fallen men being built up, strengthened, assured, and reassured again and again, time and time again, that it's all about Jesus. Jesus for them. Christ, he speaks all of these things during his ministry. Of course he does, if they only had ears to hear it. And so then he speaks it again at his resurrection, with their ears and minds finally wide open. And here again, in our text for today, at his ascension, he speaks these very same things. It's almost as if our Lord is setting up a bit of a pattern, a template, a way in which we can always be in his word on a consistent and continual basis. Fallen man's eyes and ears and mind open to the scriptures on, dare I say, a weekly, maybe even daily basis. Out then they go, out as far as Bethany. And Jesus, he takes the time to bless them. We don't get to hear the actual words that Jesus uses for this blessing, but I think we get a clue as to what he does actually say. For he lifted up his hands and he stretched them over his disciples. And it is those hands that we see the blessing that is bestowed upon those apostles, upon the church, upon you and me and all of us. For it was those very hands that pawed at his mother, infant hands, those baby hands, little tiny human hands, sanctifying mothers and fathers too, making holy the things of birth and life and family and parents. And it was those hands that picked up scrolls and parchment and pen so that he could read and write the things of Scripture. Imagine that, the hands of a 12-year-old boy gesturing to the priests in the temple as he astonished them all with everything that he knew. Even then fulfilling the things of Scripture that were written about him by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms. And it was those hands that would reach out and touch the ill and the sick, grabbing hold of those scarred and deformed fingers of a leper, or the cool to a touch lifeless hand of a dead little girl that he once returned to her parents alive and well once again. It was hands like that apparently healed the multitudes, but not in the multitudes, but each time he took that time to touch and heal and bless the individual with a personal touch that said, I am for you. It was those hands that emerged dripping wet from the waters of the Jordan as his baptism covered him with the sin and shame of the whole entire world. It was those hands that took bread and fish and multiplied them to feed thousands, and then later on took bread and cup and fed his disciples with his own body and blood in the upper room. It was those hands that embraced the women at the tomb and broke bread with the Emmaus disciples and reached out to troubled Thomas, calming all of his fear and dread and doubt. It was those hands, real hands, human hands, flesh and blood hands, that reached out over the apostles in our text for today and blessed them. And we haven't even mentioned the best part about those hands, those holy hands. The nail-marked hands, the signs of the cross hands. For apart from the cross, there would be no blessing to bestow. Apart from the cross, there would be nothing to actually say to the apostles, to the church, to you and to me. It was at the cross where sin was driven through those hands. It was at the cross where shame covered those hands as red as blood. It was at the cross where he grabbed on to death with a tight grip so strong that he would not let it go until it followed him into the ground with him. Those are the hands which Christ our Lord stretches out over the apostles in order to bless them at his ascension. And then Jesus, he departs from them. Up he goes, up into the clouds, reminiscent of the clouds in the Old Testament, the cloud that led the Israelites into the Red Sea and through the desert, the cloud that enveloped the holiest place in the tabernacle and temple. All of this showing in a visible way the invisible presence of God with his people. God was present with them. He was incarnationally present with them as he cooed as an infant, played as a child, taught and healed and proclaimed as a young man, suffered and died as a savior. He's present with his apostles at the resurrection, and even as he ascends into the heavens, he is still present with his people. Notice that the apostles in our text do not cry tears of sorrow or dread. They don't wail or lament at the loss of their Savior, as if he's gone up away from them, far away forever. Instead, they worship and they sing and they give praises. They return to Jerusalem in joy and find themselves in the temple, constantly blessing God. And that, too, must have been a surreal experience for the apostles, for they found themselves preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus in the shadow of a temple whose veil had now been ripped from top to bottom. God is not hidden any longer from his people. His holiness is not kept away from the sinner on a box, in a cloud, in a room, within a temple. God is with his people in the person of Jesus Christ. And all is finished. Crucified on the cross, finished. Buried in the tomb, finished. Raised from the dead, finished. And now, yes, ascended at the right hand of the Father, finished. But of course, we might all say, Christ isn't here with us. Why did he have to ascend up into the heavens? Why was that even a part of his fulfilling all things? And to that, we should say, we must say, what if Christ was still walking the earth? How could he be with all of us always to the very end of the age? For if Christ was walking the streets of Jerusalem, how could he be with you here at Wheat Ridge? And if he was sitting here next to you in these pews this evening, how could he then be with his people across the globe? The ascension means that Christ is with us, and I know that sounds odd, and it's more than just mystical. The ascension means that although we do not see him, we enjoy his presence both now and forever. For as our epistle reading says, the ascension proclaims that Christ has fulfilled all things that he came to accomplish in his incarnation. Nothing is left undone. And so all things are placed under his feet. Yes, his human feet. He's still man, still one of us. But now fully exercises all of his divine powers. His humanity isn't confined to a throne somewhere up there in the mystical heavens. Instead, he is glorified at the right hand of the Father. And so he opens up heaven to all humanity, even right here to you in time and space today. He blesses us with his presence, but not in a mystical, spiritual way that is randomly given out there somewhere in the ethos. Instead, he blesses us with his presence in real and tangible ways, touchy-feely ways, tasty and audible ways, him speaking and him baptizing, him present in his temple, as temple and priest and sacrifice and food, his body given, his blood poured out. And his hands still bear the marks of the cross. They always will. And so he blesses you with those very hands in his word and sacrament as he gives that cross to you. And it's the ascension that makes that possible. And that's why the apostles celebrate and worship and bless him with joy and thanksgiving at his ascension. Because the ascension means that Jesus and his cross are for you right here today where you are. And the ascension means that Christ and his cross are for his whole entire church throughout the whole entire world, no matter the time or the place. And for that, may we joyfully celebrate along with the apostles in Christ his cross, his resurrection, his ascension for you.